you're looking for homeschool sanity, welcome. I'm Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschool mom and curriculum author. But I was once so disorganized, I thought I had to quit homeschooling and stop having kids. Now, by the grace of God, I have 6 homeschool graduates. Whether we're discussing parenting, productivity, or practical tips, I pray that this episode is just what you need for happy, healthy homeschooling. Hey, homeschoolers, have you considered learning robotics in your homeschool? I don't have an engineering brain, so I enrolled my kids in in-person and online classes. My youngest is now majoring in computer science in college. His classes had a major impact on his career direction. Today on the podcast, you'll hear about the advantages of including robotics and programming in your homeschool from my guest, Francie Black. I met Francie at the Great Homeschool Convention last year. She is the founder of homehackercamp.com and is passionate about teaching. She and I are traveling to the IDEA conferences in Alaska this month. If you'll be there, be sure to come by and say hello. Now here's my chat with Francie. Francie, thank you so much for joining me here on the Homeschool Sanity Show. Could we begin by having you introduce yourself to my listeners and tell us more about your family?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. Yeah, so I came out of a tech environment. I just was drawn to tech even literally since middle school. I literally set up, a bunch of IBM computers for my middle school lab in small town North Carolina a few years ago. But I always just followed that passion. But my corporate life actually led me into managing software development. And it was all during the era when the internet was coming out. And it was very exciting how this was going to be this big shift in how people used computers and how we communicated. And I had always been in the industry, and it just really sort of, landed in my lap at that time with what was going on with the internet, much like the same pivotal point that we are right now with AI. Okay. So how is it going to change life as we know it, work as we know it, our skills as we know it, skills as we need. And basically, I worked for a large biotech company in Los Angeles for many years, and I was their manager of internet development. And so we did worldwide software development, and then I went into consulting and so forth. And then years ago, I started these robotics and programming classes. We relocated to North Carolina, Western North Carolina, due to my husband's work. And there was very little STEM in the environment here. And I had 4 kids. I have 4 kids. And they were really lacking that STEM exposure. So we started, I was more software based. My son, my second child, my son, was more sort of mechanically inclined. And we combined those to create what we called Home Hacker Camp. And started off in our basement, actually. And these were projects we were doing with our kids. And then we said, if there's the newspaper heard about it, and they actually picked up a story on us, and we said, hey, if there's other kids that are interested in learning these kind of skills, if you want to join in, let us know. And we did. We had a lot of kids join in, including homeschool kids. Okay? Mm-hmm. So my kids went to a small private Christian school. But we had a lot of homeschoolers that would attend our what became regular summer camps is what we ended up doing. So and then as it evolved and we ended up turning them into full semester courses so that kids could get credit for homeschool towards their curriculum. And so we've been doing robotics and programming classes. I think it's 9 years now.
Wow.
And so it's very fun, but I have 4 kids. I've got 3 in college. I've got my son. I've got a daughter that's in medical school, a son that works for SpaceX as a Starship engineer. I have another daughter that is my artist. She does computer animation. And then I have another son that's at Duke University. So, but having those STEM skills was really just really influence and confidence builders and exposure, because so many other kids didn't have it. So anyhow, that's a little bit about me and my family. But we are a very tech-centric family. Always have been. Always have been.
Well, that's great. I suspect, Francie, that our brains are probably mirror opposites with our strengths, because I mean, I don't think the way that I think you have to be good at robotics. And that actually leads me into my next question for you. I think I know what robotics is because I actually enrolled my boys in robotics courses. They never competed. But I would love to have you kind of define it for us. Like, what is the scope of what is considered robotics?
Well, it's really a broad scope, a very broad scope. So you can have small robots to big robots. The robots that we have, actually a poem that we use in our class, what's so cool about it is that every student gets their own robot. So actually here is our little robots that the students get to keep. And this is theirs. And this isn't the smallest robot. You can get little tiny robots that have very limited functionality. And then this one has pretty darn good functionality. I mean, we can't even cover all that it can do in the scope of all of our classes. I could add many more levels of classes. And then, of course, you've got mega robotics that are doing, you know, on manufacturing lines that are, you know, building cars and doing all kinds of crazy robotics. And so there's a huge breadth and depth of robotics. But the reality is all of them have certain components that, you know, they all have hardware, they all have software, and they're all programmed to do some sort of task. And so whether it be a small, simple task, a repetitive task, or a very complex task, really the core concepts are all the same. You just get sort of deeper and deeper into it. So they're really just computerized devices that have a specific functionality of a robot. So we, you know, we teach our kids, our whole goal in our classes is helping them learn. Not, there's classes that teach just software. Okay. And there's engineering classes that teach just hardware, or there's electrical engineering classes that focus on the electric part. And we actually do all of those.
Wow.
So we're giving kids the exposure to the software, to the hardware, and the electronics that go with that. To make basically computerized devices, and ours that we use is a robot. So it's very fun, very engaging, very hands-on. You're not just staring at a screen the whole time. You're programming to do crazy challenges and fun challenges and cliff detection and, you know, thief detection. And, you know, you're basically learning how to program a Roomba vacuum cleaner. You know, so a Roomba vacuum cleaner, that's a perfect example of a household, you know, a small robot, you know, in your house is a, you know, is an iRobot vacuum cleaner. So that's the practical side. And then when you get into work and business, if you're in manufacturing, it's massive. I mean, so, but it's really, you know, you mentioned that you have you think differently. And that's great. Cause it takes everyone to make the world go round. And, but, you know, what I tell people is that, you know, computerized devices are not going away, right? It's, you know, we carry them with us in our pocket. They're on our wrist. I see you there with your it looks like an Apple Watch there. You know, they're attached to us. they're attached to us. They're part of our life, whether it be social, business, you know, recreation. You know, you're using a computerized device, okay? So learning and understanding how those things work, how they work together, they really apply to so many aspects. I mean, even my daughter's 2D animation, but her, you know, she does a little bit of programming with that, you know, with some of the animation and understanding how these things work. And I don't know, I just think it's very valuable skills. And I feel like you don't want to be afraid of it, whether you go into that or not. Like I see a lot of parents, a lot, particularly moms, who are like, I never touched that. So I can, you know, I can do my base thing, but I don't want to go beyond that. Like they're in their comfort zone, but they can't go beyond that. And is that you?
Well, I would say it probably is, you know, the thought of you know, trying to learn all of those skills so that I could help teach my kids. It does give me the heebie-jeebies, but I'm really laughing also because yeah. I hear the very same thing about writing from homeschooling moms who say, I'm not a good writer. Okay. I can't write. So, you know, I'm afraid to teach it to my kids. So can you tell us?
And I think whether it be, I was just going to say, whether it be writing or robotics, it's really exposure. And I tell people that all the time, that it's not whether somebody is smart or not smart. It's really just exposure and giving them these core principles that they can build off of no matter what direction they go on. So whether it be writing for you or robotics for me, you know, computer science and engineering, it's giving that foundation and that logic. So you're not scared to do the more advanced writing, or you're not scared to do, to delve more into electronics. If you don't, you know, I mean, I get people that don't want to touch the robot, and I'm like, just touch it. It's okay. You know, you're not going to hurt it. You know, put it in your hands, feel it, you know, it's, you know, so I hear your point, but yeah, it's the same thing. It's not smart, dumb, brilliant or not brilliant. It's really exposure and giving that confidence, whether you become a full-time writer, or you become a full-time computer science major or engineer or electronics engineer. It's just having that exposure and that hands-on. And I see kids, they literally shift from coming into class quiet and reserved to just like blossoming, like they've just been introduced to a whole new world. And they get it, you know, so it's really fun.
And that is so exciting. So besides that exposure to computers and programming, do you feel that doing these types of courses is important for our kids' education in general? You know, what kinds of brain development or skills does it give kids to have this type of experience?
Well, beyond just the demand for those skills in the workforce, which is a massive demand, okay? So it doesn't matter if you go into manufacturing, because like I said, robots are in manufacturing. You know, if you're a wood carver, there's robots that are doing wood carving. You know, if you're a mechanic now, guess what? You need these skills. So career-wise, without question, okay, 1,000%. Very few careers don't use some of those skills. But beyond that, let's say you don't go into any of those fields, which is fine. It teaches you so much about critical thinking and troubleshooting. And a big problem with students today is that they're scared to fail. And there's not one person in any of our classes, including me, that do not make mistakes every single week in class. And it is never wrong. It is never bad. It doesn't mean a bad grade. It is you have to experiment and try, and trial and error. I cannot tell you how many times that parents have told me that what they've learned in my class has helped them so much in other classes about how not to get mad or feel down about not doing well or struggling to get through something. And it gives them logic and steps and troubleshooting. I mean, that is probably, you know, I don't know if you would rank that number one or two. That's probably maybe even the most important thing, like learning how to develop those thinking skills and to know that if you get something wrong, trying again, working through it, how to break it down, problem solving. I can't even tell you how much of that we do. It is literally every single week. It changes kids, how they think.
I believe it. And Francie, I want to sign my husband up for one of your classes because he is not willing to experiment with technology. He just comes right to me to solve all of his tech problems.
Tech problems.
Yeah.
Very good. There are some of those. No, and you know, it's funny. I have people all the time saying, well, my kid's smarter than me. You know what? Here's the difference between kids and adults in a lot of cases is that they're just willing to try. Like I call them mad clickers. They don't even know what they've done, you know, but they're willing to be I call them mad clickers. My husband is a mad clicker. I'm like,
I love that. My husband is not a mad clicker. He is a call Melanie guy. That's what he does. Oh gosh. Yeah. So we won't go into all of that. I love him to pieces. He has so many gifts, but technology and experimenting, not one of them. So, so
probably just comes from exposure. That's really,
well, I know it, exactly. It's what you said that explained it to a T. And, you know, he doesn't want to make mistakes, right? He doesn't want to mess anything up. And so that's why he doesn't, you know, just try a bunch of different things. And that's what I keep telling him. I said, just try things. I said, that's what I do when there's a problem with something, with any of our tech. I just troubleshoot. I just try different things. I said, just try. But no, not so much.
And that's exactly what I tell my students. I go, if you don't know, that's what I tell our students. That's perfect. Because I tell them the exact same thing. I go, if you don't know, guess. I go, you'll, I don't care if you get it wrong. I want you to guess. Because you're thinking about it at another level.
Yes.
So just, I don't care if you don't know, just guess. Think about it. Take your best guess. If that didn't work, then try something else. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So
you can tell your husband that.
All right. I will. I'll tell him that you said so. So I'm sure we have sold parents on the idea that having this robotics background, programming background, is really important to their kids' education.
Yes.
Now tell us, what are some ways that parents have available to them to incorporate that into their homeschooling curriculum?
Sure, sure. I'm going to back up on one point I forgot to mention. So most states, well, I shouldn't say most states, that's not correct. Many states are starting to make that a requirement. So even like South Carolina just passed it as a requirement that you have to have a full credit of computer science as part of your graduation requirements. Okay. So I want to mention that. So that's how important it is. It's reading, writing, arithmetic. Computer science is right there with them now. Okay. Okay. Maybe not 4 years worth, but exposure to it. So you're not going off to college wondering, you know, how does a, you know, how does my, I don't know, some basic tech question. The other thing I was going to point out about that, and then I'll come back to your question, is that what I've seen over my 9 years is that students are getting younger and younger and younger. Okay. So we offer classes online. We offer them online self-paced, so you can work at your own speed, the pre-recorded videos. And then we offer them online instructor-led, and I'm the instructor. And we do a limited number of those, but I do make those available once a week to students at different age groups. So we used to only do middle and high, and about right before COVID, we actually, because we're getting so many requests, we started opening up our classes to younger students. Okay. So what a student now, many students, okay, going into college, you have, there's a huge disparity in this. And I'm using college as an example. My kids all went to college. If your student doesn't go to college, that is A-okay. First of all, college is not for everybody. It's a huge debt. It's a huge, you know, huge expense. If it's not for your kid, don't make them feel bad about that. I'm just using that as an example. Okay. But there's a huge disparity in students going into college as to what they've been exposed to from a computer science and engineering perspective. Massive disparity. Okay. My son is actually an engineering major at Duke. Okay. And he had exposure to my classes. Now Duke has got these kids that, you know, they're scraping these people from all across the world. And what he had exposure to, his school offered little to nothing. He got mostly from us, from home, even though he wasn't homeschooled. A lot of it came from us, okay? But there are kids that are light years above him. But that's true at any school, okay? Not just at his university. So, but you need exposure to it no matter what. So you can do things online self-paced through our programs. We have three different levels, level 1, level 2, level 3. They're designed as semester-long courses. Online self-paced allows you to go at your own pace. So some kids are faster, some kids are slower. If you like that independence, then you can do that. Or you can do online instructor led. I'm the instructor. And we have a group of students, usually 10 to 12 in a class. And we move through our program. We move at a different pace depending on how the class flows. We break the younger students are in a separate class. The older kids are in a different class. We move a little quicker and deeper in the older class. Those meet once a week from September through basically Labor Day to Thanksgiving for an hour and a half. And they're very fun. They're hands-on classes. We're working on our robots every week. We're doing programming. Today, we actually program a game. We always do a game. I always throw in a game, a computerized game. So today, we were actually programming a game today in class. So what was I going to say? Online instructor-led, online self-paced, and levels 1, 2, and 3. And of course, they just get more advanced as you go through our classes. Then we actually get into soldering in our level 3 classes, where there's no soldering on these because these already come pre-soldered. But in our level 3 classes, then we actually start soldering components onto boards. And so it's, again, really fun, hands-on, very interactive, project-based. I think that answered your question. Did I touch on what you
I
asked?
Think so.
I kind of went round because I remember I wanted to mention that about the requirement for many states that including, you know, South Carolina just announced that they have to have that as a credit hour, they have to have programming now as a credit hour to graduate. So this class would
make sense.
Fulfill that if you do the level 1 and level 2.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It really does make sense. So we were talking about the fact that you started your classes with your son, who is now a Starship engineer working on a rocket that is going to Mars. And
that is correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. That's just crazy to
me. It's crazy to me.
I'm sure it is. And he's going to be doing a talk with your students. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks for asking. So yes, my son that I started this program with, when he was in middle school, and he actually taught a lot of the classes then. And so, he was very inclined that way. He went to University of Colorado Boulder, did aerospace engineering, and then coming out of college, he randomly applied to SpaceX. It's a whole God story I can tell you about later, but was not on his plan. He had offers where he was in Boulder, but ended up applying to SpaceX for various reasons. And sure enough, got hired on as a Starship engineer. So he's been there about 10 months now. So he is working on the rocket going to Mars, and he's going to be our speaker this year. So we bring in speakers nearly every year. During COVID, we missed a little bit, but typically I bring in some very unique, interesting, or what I think is interesting speakers. And this year it is Andres, my son, and he is a Starship engineer. He works in Texas on the rocket as part of the Gateway to Mars project that Elon Musk is doing. So SpaceX is Elon Musk's space company. He wants to colonize Mars. And in Texas, he is building the largest rocket that's ever been built. It's crazy. It's much bigger than the rockets that launch out of Florida. It's much bigger because it has to go a lot further. And so this particular rocket, it's called the Starship. And that is the rocket that will go to Mars. And my son, there is the booster, which is the bottom half that propels it off the Earth. And then there's the top half, which is the shuttle that will eventually shuttle to Mars. And my son works on the shuttle part of the Starship. And he is going to be talking about the Gateway to Mars project, what Elon Musk is doing. This particular rocket has never made it to orbit yet. It is still in building and test phase. They've only done 3 launches. So this is very early stage. So if these students who are in, you know, middle, even elementary, middle, and high school hear about this and start learning about this, by the time they are, you know, 25, 35, they're going to say, oh my gosh, you know, I remember when. It's going to be one of those things. It's going to be crazy. I mean, it's literally that crazy.
Yeah.
So, wow. So anyhow, so he's our convert. He's going to be our speaker. He's going to talk about the Gateway to Mars project. He's going to talk a little bit about, you know, the different tracks, engineering, computer science, electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, aerospace, just a little overview. If you're inclined to go those directions, don't have to, but some little tips there. And then he's actually going to give a little mini aerospace lesson, like how do they rotate? How do you know what direction you're going in space? You have no ground, you have no gravity. And so, so how do you do that? So he's going to give a little lesson on that. So he's our speaker this year. So I'm of course thrilled and excited about that. And, but we always have interesting speaker. We've had, Scott McNeely, who was the founder of Java. If you've ever heard of Java programming language, he spoke, to our class several years ago. We had some crossing in contact over some projects that I had worked on, and we crossed paths a few times over the years, and I asked him to speak to our class. And so he did. So the founder of Sun Microsystems and Java, spoke to our class one year. We've had, an engineer who's building a spacecraft that basically collects garbage in space, dead satellites, out of Georgia Tech. We've had NASA engineers speak. We've had robot engineers from China speak. And we've even had Gamora from Marvel. Her makeup artist is a robotics engineer. So he spoke one year and showed us some of the robots that he had built. Yes, I know. Crazy stuff. Yeah. So these are all just people I've crossed paths with through my background and my career when I was in corporate and doing some media work that I used to do. And so the point is we bring in a lot of interesting speakers, and this one is a very unique situation. So,
well,
very cutting edge. Cool. So,
and very interesting for me to learn. So we have something exciting coming up in the near future. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned in the intro, I met Francie at the Great Homeschool Convention. And by the time this airs, we will have been at a conference, a convention in Cincinnati together again. But we are going to Alaska's conferences, three of their four conferences in April. Yeah. And I'm really excited. It's going to be an adventure for the two of us.
It is definitely going to be an adventure. So yeah, I appreciate you being willing to be my travel buddy, Melanie.
Well,
I have never been to Alaska, so it's going to be,
right. Neither have I. I mean, I'm from South Dakota originally, so I'm closer to that kind of weather and climate, maybe.
Yes.
But yeah, it's going to be an adventure. And if you happen to live in Alaska and you're listening to this episode, we would love to have you come by our booths to say hello, and you can learn more about Francie's classes. But if you are not living in Alaska or planning to attend their conventions, we would love to have you find out more about Francie's amazing classes for homeschoolers. And where can they best find out more about what you offer, Francie?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. It should be simple, right? So we've always gone by Home Hacker Camp, because we literally started in our basement with, you know, hacking together electronic projects. So we branded as Home Hacker Camp. And the problem with that is we've kind of grown and broadened our audience is the word hacker is implied with teaching kids, or, you know, the word hacker has to do with, you know, breaking into people's systems, which we don't do.
Right.
So our website is actually homehackercamp.com, but we do less camps now and more classes. And we are rebranding, and I know this is way too confusing, but we are rebranding, and it's not done yet. We were supposed to have our website done by now, and we're a little behind, of course, but it's our new brand is homeschoolstemkids.com. So homeschoolstemkids.com. So that is under construction. And we don't even have our classes posted there yet. I was up till 2 a.m. this morning working on trying to get my classes posted to that site. Ran into some snags because I had a developer that was working with me and then she became not available. And so I'm trying to pick up where she left off and I didn't make it very far. But all that to say, long story, is either homehackercamp.com is the current homehackercamp. Not hackers. A lot of people think there's an S. That's another reason why we're changing it. It's a lot of people mistype. But homehackercamp.com or homeschoolstemkids.com. Okay.
All right.
So that was a very long answer for what was supposed to be a short answer.
Well, I'm going to add the links for those, that information, to the show notes. But thank you so much for sharing this with me. When I was exhibiting with you at GHC last year, there were so many families and kids interested in what you are teaching and what the classes that you're offering. So I knew I wanted to have you on the podcast. And I'm really looking forward to getting to know you better. But thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing you, well, next week in Cincinnati and then in Alaska. So looking forward to it. And thank you. Thank you, Melanie, for having me on. I appreciate it.
To find the links to Francie's website, go to homeschoolsanity.com/robotics. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. I hope something you heard was encouraging. If you have a personal question to follow up, don't hesitate to message me. I'm at Homeschool Sanity on social media. Be sure to check my free resource page at homeschoolsanity.com/resource and find Sanity Saving Curriculum at fundtolearnbooks.com. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.